got a weird email. I got a weird message this week.
Yeah.
So one of our players is dreaming about us. No.
Dreaming?
I know, and not in that way. I was disappointed to realize it wasn't like a cool dream. It was a, he dreamt, what was it? He dreamt that Matt LeBlanc, or Joey from Friends, was, had a cameo in the upcoming Bond movie, and he was desperately trying to persuade me to get him added into the cast so that he could add him to his fantasy film league and get loads of points. So we're now turning up in the dreams of other people. So
that's step one towards us achieving Inception. This is good progress.
I think it's good progress. I mean, I'd rather have more listeners than more dreamers. But hey, you know, any dream will do. The epic intro music is back.
I'd forgotten just how epic the epic music was.
The reason it's back is for a couple of reasons. Is Fast and Furious is coming out this week, and I would like to remind everyone listening that the number of speeding tickets that are issued in all countries increased dramatically after Fast and Furious, because everyone leaves a Fast and Furious film and speeds home thinking that they're Vin Diesel on nitrous. So if you're going to do it, then at least have epic music while being done by the cops. Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast. I'm Mr. Birch. With me, as always, is Mrs. Smith.
Hello.
This is a bit of a different episode this week, because this is going to be very stat heavy. Generally, I like to do one of these at least once a year. The, as I like to call them, great, that's really useful information that I could have done with 6 months ago episode, where we basically tell you who you should have bought. Couple of really unusual ones this month, of this year, because obviously it's been a bit of a weird year. Cinemas have been kind of suspended and closed. We've had some open in the US, we've had some open in the UK. Now
we've played with half a chart rather than a full chart, right?
Exactly.
Stay tuned. There's some surprising stuff.
Some weird ones, but also it's actually going to bode well for the next 6 months, because I guarantee when we do this again in November or December, none of the people who are in this list will be in this list, because we've got every film is coming out. Now, you've got a couple that you want to cover later on.
Yes, that are coming out like this weekend and next weekend.
And
as you already said, right, the £800 gorilla type thing being Fast and Furious.
Fast 9. And Furious, yeah. So we need to talk about Bad Film Club. We've watched a bad film. It was a bad film. I want to quickly discuss Black Widow, because I do, and stats. So let's just crack on.
This is the news.
I'm glad you used the short news jingle, because if we'd have had the epic music and the epic dubstep all in one podcast, that would have just, my brain would have just dribbled out my ear.
It's way too much. You saw that someone sent us the Ghost Rider dubstep mix. You mentioned last week. So good. So you mentioned it
that
2 weeks ago.
That was Neil Stonebaum. Thank you.
That you'd like to have some dubstep in Ghost Riders in the Storm style, and someone very quickly obliged. So thank you for that.
Yes.
So probably big news really is cinemas are back, which is great, because I'm actually going to go to the cinema next week. I'm going to go see.
What are you going to see?
I'm going to go see Fast and Furious on Wednesday. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go on Wednesday. I'll let you know when I'm going. So
I'll wave from the other side of the auditorium,
wearing a mask. Absolutely.
Yes.
So I'm going to do Fast and Furious on Wednesday, and then I'm going to do the following week. I'm going to watch Black Widow. So I'm trying to get out and see one film a week. So currently the deal with Mrs. B is I can see whatever the hell I want on a Wednesday, And then if it's a good film that she likes, then we have to go and see it at the weekend. So if I'm lucky, I can get two films out of it. And she goes, right. I'm going to go on Wednesday. Well, maybe I want to go on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go see Fast and Furious 9. And she went, fine, go on your own. And I went, okay, cool. And then I booked it next week. She goes, wait, what are you next week? And I went, I'm going to go see Black Widow. Oh, what's Black Widow about? It's Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, the Marvel suit. She goes, yeah, okay, go see it yourself. So it's
cool. You have this well sorted out.
Oh, yeah. No, so it's going to be film that she's not interested in, and then so it does actually it's really good because it means that I can go and watch, as the film students would say, you know, populist box office base on Wednesdays, and then I can go and see cool clever stuff at the weekend if I need to. So I mean, I did have to go and see The Gentleman twice. So I went and saw The Gentleman, laughed for the entire film, especially when Colin Farrell turned up, because the man's a legend. And then I went home and described it to Mrs. B, and she was like, well, we have to go and see it again. And I'm like, you know what? I'll happily go and see it again. So we went and saw it like 5 days later. Win-win. Absolutely. So Fast and Furious, we've talked about Fast and Furious. It's going to be massive. I mean, let's be honest, it's going to be massive. Now, we've had some comments from our players that the cast for Fast and Furious is really expensive. And our response was, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Let's pick through the cast when we get to looking at the films that are coming up.
Yeah, but fair enough.
You're right. They are all reassuringly expensive, and yes, for a good reason. Because yeah, this
absolutely.
Is absolutely obvious, huge film.
The other one's Black Widow, and I'm going to go and see Black Widow because I actually really want to go and see it.
And
I
don't
really
believe
good.
It's actually coming out in 2 weeks because it has been moved and moved and moved and moved and moved.
But it's also coming out. So here's the thing. So it's the first, I think it's safe to say it's the first Marvel film that's got a female lead in it. Arguably, Scarlett Johansson was the co-lead in Civil War, but...
Well, I think Captain Marvel probably got there.
But, I'm sorry, I have a mental
block. Her character's been around for a long time in the MCU, right? Yeah. So actually, this film kind of should have come out before Captain Marvel, right?
I think that's your point, right? First of all, this film's being simultaneously released on Disney Plus for $20 or 25 mm-hmm. bucks or 20 quid or whatever it's going to be, which I think's not great. I think it's going to hurt the box office. Also, this film looks great, but this film also should have been released in 2017.
Because, yes, 100%. Yeah.
Because, and I know that it's been delayed by a year, but it still came out 3 years late because I hate to, and people have pointed out this obviousness, but it doesn't really matter what happens in this film. Because this film is based before the last five films that we've had. And therefore, you're not going to go, ooh, can't wait to see the further adventures of Black Widow. Because I'm sure she's going to be fine.
Unless they're hiding something in there. But
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
out of time. It's an appendix, right?
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want this film to not do well and everyone to go, well, it didn't do well because, you know, it was a girl who's a superhero and no one likes girls superheroes. And you go, no, that would be tedious.
That would be...
So let's address this out first. First of all, it's coming out on the tail end of the cinema closures, so there's going to be less of a take up. Secondly, it's getting simultaneously released on Disney Plus. And thirdly, it is in fairness, a film that is not... is late. So yeah, that was it. So that's just going to annoy me. So I just want to kind of counter or get in front of all of the usual incel trolls who live in their basements and complain on Twitter about stuff. So that was it. I just wanted to just say that because it was just going to annoy me. Right. I'm good. Let's just crack on. Oh, hang on. I nearly pushed the wrong button there. You nearly got the Bond theme. Here we go. Okay, so we've got three things to cover. We've got new films coming out, we've got Bad Film Club, and we have the stats. So you know what? It's dealer's choice. I'm going to let you choose what you want to talk about first.
Let's do the upcoming stuff first.
Go for it. Right, I'm all ears.
All right, so some things to go through. So let's have a look at the box office, right, because that's what drives the scores for the week. And so we're looking at week 24, and we're starting to see a bit of normality come back to the box office. We have both the US and the UK, and they're starting to line up a bit more. So at number one in both sides of the Atlantic, A Quiet Place Part Two. So we said that was like, you know, the film to keep your eye on last time around, and it's got a clean sweep, number one across the board. Looking at the US, the top five are more or less the same films, just in a little bit of different order. So we talked about In the Heights. That's number two in the US. Then The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Yeah.
With a poster that I just keep thinking it's Gillian Anderson, but it's not.
No, it's Vera Farmiga.
Yeah. At four, you've got Peter Rabbit 2. And at five, it's Cruella. And then in the UK, it's it goes Quiet Place, Peter Rabbit, Cruella, Conjuring. So same four films, but we've got Nobody still hanging in there at number five.
We'll come back to Bob Odenkirk later.
Well, indeed. One last thing to note, though. Another film we looked at last week was Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Number six in the US.
Yeah, that got
ruling at all.
Yeah, we did say that it got really bad word of mouth. We did say that when they reviewed it, they said that it's a comedy that hasn't got a single joke in it.
Sometimes films get away with that, right? And they go in high anyway. This has not. I mean, it's not been even able to beat Cruella that's been, or Peter Rabbit that's been out for weeks and weeks. Yeah. So really,
that was a bad misstep. That was
a definite miss. So apologies for anyone who invested in that. You might not make your money back.
Well, why are you apologizing? We said it was going to be.
Okay, sorry. So, commiserations to anyone.
Commiserations for those.
Not apologies.
Yeah. Let's
have a look at the top five players for the week. So let's take a look at the top five players for week 24. At number one, we've got Metarian. Making 52 million Fufflebucks. So, I mean, I looked back to some early weeks in the year. That's pretty much double what people were making at the beginning of the year. Then we've got Papsamillion, both of those guys are patrons. Thanks, guys, for your support. Then we have Wags, Finding Captain Howdy, and finally, recent top player DM Biggins, only fifth this week. He's another one of our patrons. So there's some, you know, The players are switching around at the top. The competition is still tight and it's raging now, right?
There's a lot of debate over who to back on Furious 9. That's the big thing. Is everyone's trying to work out where to go, because I think buying everybody is a bad idea, but buying a few people is a good idea.
Looking down through the list as well, I noticed that our friends at the Fantasy Film AI player 22nd this week, only having made 5.7 million. So I don't know if this was a reinvestment week for them, but you know, we've been used to seeing them quite high up, not so high this week. So I think my guess would be that they're doing a reinvestment, whereas the other players at the top are, you know, cashing in on past reinvestments. So it's interesting to see that they're out of sync, that they're reinvesting on a different cycle to the human players.
Excellent.
Anyway, so that's it for where we currently are. Let's look at some films that are coming up over this weekend and next weekend. So picked out the three sort of interesting ones. First is The Purge Forever. Now this is another one in the Purge saga. I don't know what they call it, but you're aware of The Purge, which is the home invasion film.
It's they legalize
everything years ago now, right?
Everything's legalized for 12 hours or something, and everyone goes mad.
Once a year, basically, you can do anything, and there's no, everyone gets the crime out of their system, because effectively you won't be prosecuted for anything that happens in that house. And in the first film, there's a home invasion, and everyone locks their homes down, but for whatever reason, some malcontents who want to go around basically randomly killing, break into a house and cause mayhem. It's a proper B movie, sort of somewhat high concept idea, but this has sort of sprung a whole bunch of films. There's actually only two people in this film. I mentioned it because it's a franchise, and therefore it's likely to have a sort of quite a built-in audience.
Yeah.
Josh Lucas and Will Patton are the only two people that you can pick for that. But they're 5 and 7 or 7 and 5 million Fufflebucks each, respectively. So it's worth noting, but not a lot to pick from. Let's move on and talk about another one now that's got a wider cast to pick from, and that is The Boss Baby: Family Business.
Oh, what
Now, this is an animation, and I'm only mentioning it because I'm sort of foreshadowing some of the stuff that we're going to talk about later. But animations are right now sticking around in the charts for very long periods of time. Now, you won't earn very much because, you know, I think you only get, is it like 10% of earnings for a voice in a thing? So we've kind of normalized it a lot, but there's a few quite cheap people in here. So let me go through who you could have. Alec Baldwin, Eva Longoria Parker, James Marsden, Lisa Kudrow, Jeff Goldblum, and Tom McGrath.
Cool.
Right, so you've got more people to pick from. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's at least one person in there you can have for 1 million Fufflebucks. So a little research for the listeners. There's a steal. You won't earn huge, but you might. No, earn I some. Guarantee you will make your money back.
Yes. You've said guarantee. I'm going to need to get the belt.
Thank you. Very good. Now, maybe you've maxed out on Fast and Furious and you've just got 1 million left and you don't know how to spend that last million. Go look at that.
Okay.
All right. Family business.
I now promise I won't go in there and just cause disruption by making that person out 8 million. Because, you know, ordinarily I can do that. But yeah, I wanted that, I promise.
Damn you, Birch. Right. Okay. Let's talk about the big one. F9.
F9. Fast and
Furious 9.
Okay.
In the system. If you're searching for it, it's in the system as F9. And that seems to be its nom de guerre.
Right.
Yes. Huge, huge variety. We're almost up into sort of Avengers Endgame levels size cast. Now, at the moment, we don't know who's going to be top billing. Who's going to be supporting? Who's going to be cameo? And I guess is that one of the reasons you're going to go to see the film so that you can make.
If I get this wrong, we may yet do a Thanos.
We may do a Thanos finger click to correct errors in the timeline, but
quite possibly.
Let's go through.
All I'm saying is, if Gemma Chan's in this film, I have to pay attention because apparently I have beef. So
if she is, Whopper is currently denying the fact. But
right.
Let's have a look here, right? And I think if you don't know the Fast and Furious franchise, basically the standard operating procedure for one of these films is a group of car enthusiasts do crazy superpower level weird stuff with their cars to, you know, heisty type stuff.
So there's usually
one or two bad guys or adversaries who then become part of the gang in the following film. So by the time you get to 9, you've got a gigantic cast. And we are talking Charlize Theron, Helen Mirren, Jason Statham, Michelle Rodriguez, Paul Walker here. I don't know if that's like a...
He's not available on the system CGI anyway.
Might need to take him out. Moving on, Vin Diesel, John Cena, Justin Lin, Gal Gadot. What? Maybe a correction to be put there. Kurt Russell, likely to be in it. Tyrese Gibson, Jordana Brewster, Ludacris, Sun Kang, and Michael Rooker. That's a huge cast, but they're going to, you know, starting prices start from 5 million Fufflebucks and go all the way up to 15 million Fufflebucks.
I'm guessing you're going to need to be super confident. Right?
Yeah, you're going to need to be super confident that that this film is going to stick around in the charts for a long time. Now, we've seen in the past, the risk here is that some really big films, and I'm talking like Avengers Endgame, they actually don't stay at number one very long. They might stay in the top 10 for a long time, but you won't be absolutely coining it. They actually fall quite quickly. What you really want is a film that's consistently at number one or two for several weeks. And there's a risk with all these other big films coming that it gets knocked down the chart quite quickly. So this is a gamble. I think this is why we're seeing a lot of conversation with the players on
And this is one of the key differences between the way that the Fantasy Film League runs and the way that real world runs. We base it on longevity in the box office, whereas obviously if you're a movie studio, you just want bums on seats. So what will happen is Fast and Furious will make its money because everyone will go and see it in the first 2 weeks and then they'll have seen it and then that's it. It's over. At which point they've made their billion. Thank you very much. They walk away and they work on F10. With us, yes, you're right. It's about staying power. It's about how long it stays there, which is why animation does very well, because people invariably have to go and see it several times with their children. Fast and Furious may not have repeat viewing. Endgame, I think you just about broke even because people went mad for it on the first week because they didn't want to have any spoilers. And then they went back and savored it a couple of times more. But yeah, Fast and Furious is a weird one. It's going to be huge, but I suspect it'll come in at number one for its first week. Then I think it might hold on to number one for its second week, and then it will quite quickly drop down. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, we do have the old adage of 4 weeks of winning. You need to be in there for 4 weeks before your cast can realistically make their money back, especially if you've bought Vin Diesel, because he's 15 mil. Mm. So realistically, you would need to be top of the box office for 3 weeks straight in order to break even on Vin. Is that right? Yeah. In order to break even, you'd need to be top of the box office for 3 weeks, and then certainly, 2 weeks, and then certainly up in the top five for week three. So just be careful.
Yeah. The difficulty being that not being super clear who's top billing. I mean, Vin Diesel, right? Obviously. Yes, but who else?
It's a good question.
Top billing, right?
It's a great question. I'm not getting into this. No, because I've already had people kind of trying to get me to think. I personally, no, I'm not even going to joke because this is serious stuff now.
So hot off the presses, I've done a little bit of research. Let's look at some of those slightly strange crediting things in there. Paul Walker is not in this film. No. He's probably in the system because we pull from a site called the MovieDB, which is sort of like Wikipedia meets IMDb. So we can be sometimes Whopper can get a bit misled by sort of fanboys who are like, oh yeah, Paul Walker's going to be, and they just like, you know, because it can be publicly edited. Yeah. Sometimes you get weird things turning up. I thought that's what was going on with Gal Gadot, but according to the MovieDB, she is in it in archive footage.
Right,
she's turning up. I think she was a character in perhaps previous
episodes.
And she is credited as turning up in archive footage.
It's fair to say if Gal Gadot turns up in archive footage, she's going to be a cameo because her character, didn't she get killed? Isn't she dead in the Fast and Furious world?
Well, and I can't remember. I've heard of a few people who are like sort of who've gone back to one and they're like binge watching it through to eight so that they can go into nine like fully. Which sounds like a way of just sort of maximizing your testosterone and minimizing your critical thought.
Indeed. Yes. I think start with five. I think as long as you've seen five, you know which way it's going. The previous ones were a bit more kind of low key. Five is where they start doing superhero
they've
stuff.
Evolved. They've evolved a long way. Now, another name, last one I mentioned, Jason Statham, apparently is in it but uncredited. So I imagine that means he's probably similarly maybe in some sort of cameo or maybe a post-credit scene thing maybe for Fast 10. Who knows? But so, be careful of, don't get Paul Walker. Be careful. Well, Gal Gadot is almost certainly not worth it. Jason Statham, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Choose wisely. To be honest with you, if it were me,
you can't finish that sentence.
If it were me, of all the people.
That sound of the FFL players holding their breath.
I'm sorry. If it were me and I had the money of all the Fast and Furious, I probably would go with John Cena.
Because I mean, he appears to be like the antagonist.
He is the main baddie, and he's also a lot less than Vin Diesel. And I think you'd make your money back on John Cena. And he's John Cena. And I think he's got another film coming out quite soon anyway. So he would probably be.
Vin Diesel's too expensive. The new Suicide Squad film.
There you go. He's the peacemaker. That's right. And he looks very funny in that. So I'd almost buy John Cena, have him for Fast and Furious, and then keep him for Suicide Squad. And even if he's only supporting cast on both of them, and I'm not confirming or denying that he is on either one of those, but if he were, I think you'd make your money back because he's cheaper. Vin Diesel only makes Fast and Furious movies now, and I think as a result, he's too expensive.
But that's the game, mate.
There you go. But that's the game, people. Right, okay. Anything else to talk about?
That's it for the upcoming movies and an update on the recent play. We are done.
Cool. Right. Let's carry on. Now, I know that we're getting to the end of the whole bad film thing. Because we said that we were kind of going to do it. We did it kind of during lockdown and while everyone was doing quarantine, just for something to do on Saturday nights. And now that the cinemas are open, go to the cinema on Saturday night. Go out, enjoy yourself, wear a mask.
Yes, so have a life.
Be safe, stay distant. But we are going to probably put a wind it down slowly, which has come as a bit of a no to a few people who are really enjoying it. But we went a bit off piste on this one. Now, I think it was one of our bad film club members, I think it was Paps Million, who suggested we do Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I've got to be honest with you, it did split the room because half of us went, that's actually quite a good film, isn't it? And the other half went, oh yeah, that's a bad film. But I remember it to be, actually, I quite liked it when I watched it. Now I watched
it. If you had, it did not spring to mind as a bad film, right?
Yeah. So this film came out in what, 93?
92, 93, yeah.
92, 93.
Early 90s.
I would have been slap bang in my slightly pre-emo, wasn't a thing, but I was slightly emo, stupid hair, mid-90s, floppy-haired, pretentious drama student phase, which thankfully didn't last too long, but there was a window. And the reason that you're nodding and going, is because I know where you were. You were right there with me, right? so don't you start judging me. I'm allowed, but yes, I've recently seen some photographs of me from the mid 90s and they're not good. Well, they're funny, but no one's seen them because I am a floppy haired, pretentious git. Now, as a result of that, I really enjoyed Bram Stoker's Dracula because it was wonderfully lavish and decadently blah, 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 and camera angles. But we watched it again. It's a bad film. It's a bad film.
Well, I have to tread incredibly carefully here. I've been thinking about this all week, and
now
if I say
before you say anything,
this is
I'm
a
guessing
bad film.
I'm guessing Mrs. Smith still loves this film, right?
Yeah, yeah. If I say this is a bad film, I think the divorce proceedings may start very quickly from Mrs.
Right.
But I actually agree with her. I don't think that this is a bad film. I just think it's a film that has not aged well.
It has not, no.
And also, there's a difference. It was not bad at the time. I think in hindsight, it's like, wow. I will agree. It's massively overwrought, right?
Oh, it's huge.
Just off the scale.
Every single bit of that film was turned up to not even 11, like 15.
To 11 to stupid.
Yeah, and then, I mean... it was just like they kind of went right.
The costumes, the camera
costumes,
angles.
Oh, it was just
the accents. Super,
the accents. Now I'm gonna give Gary Oldman a pass on this film on the grounds that it was his first. It was his first big film.
If you're saying it's a bad film, then you've got to lay that at Gary's feet. Yeah,
I'm giving Gary Oldman a pass on this. It was his first big film, and in fairness, no one can do a decent Transylvanian accent. Trust me, I've tried. But I am going to be singling out Anthony Hopkins for just the sheer bat shizzle lunacy of what he was doing. However, in the same breath, I'd watch the film that was just Richard E. Grant and Tom Waits just having chats in a sale asylum. Because Richard E. Grant was tweaking for the entire film. He was like super agitated because he was basically a drug-addled psychiatrist. And Tom Waits, yes, the singer Tom Waits, was phenomenal. He was in like four scenes. Yeah. He was absolutely brilliant. But
Master!
The rest of the film... it was just... bananas. It was absolutely bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't think it's inherently bad. Maybe overlong, overwrought, overdesigned,
overindulged.
Everything to 15. Yeah.
Was way too much money. I think you could have made twice the film for half the money.
Yeah. It needed reining in. But I think the thing is, you need to understand what vampire films were before 1992, 93, right? Really, I'm trying to think, like, what was before that? It was kind
Hammer
of...
Horror. Well,
Hammer horror. Right? So it was a massive reaction against that. It was like, no. It's like, it's not the guy in the tuxedo gown thing.
You weren't that far away from Interview with the Vampire, though. An Interview with the Vampire.
No, yeah, and so yeah, that's the other one that's very close. And they both took very different directions off of the Hammer horror.
They both came out within 2 years of each other, because I remember where I was when Interview with the Vampire came out. And
so did that come out after?
Interview with the Vampire came out in 90... That came out in 90... It would have been 95.
Okay. No? But after, yeah. Right?
It would have been what would have been your first year at university.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So it would have been
right.
It would have been 94, wouldn't it?
So it's interesting. Yes. I think, and some of that was a reaction. Obviously, one of the things they did was like rein in the all
lunacy.
Sorts of aspects. But it was interesting. It was sort of a new era of vampire film, right?
Yeah.
Very, very different to the stuff that the sort of really the mainstay of stuff in the 60s and 70s, right?
Do you think it was like super dial and they far. Massively overcorrected and then kind of settled back on the middle,
right? Yeah.
So, but I'm still going to go.
Miss it.
Go on. So you're feeling clearly you're very animated about this. All right, go on.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it on and off all week, and I think that's a sign that it's not a bad film, right? Because I think bad films are very disposable. It's like, yeah, whatever. But this one sort of intrigued me. I mean, and let me be super clear. Just because it's not a bad film doesn't mean it's a good film either.
Right, okay.
So about half in time now, we are about halfway between when that came out and when Twilight came out. So what do you know, which is the better movie between the two?
No, I'm not getting into this. Twilight's
or
not a vampire. Twilight's
Dracula.
No, screw you. Twilight's not a vampire film. Right? No. All right?
So, no. It's disqualified.
Disqualified. All right? No. Granted. No.
It's certainly
granted,
not a Dracula film, right?
So it's certainly not a Dracula film. But it was interesting to do it because we did watch it and just go, and we all kind of went, it's not a bad film. It's not a bad story, but there's literally three acts. I mean, it fades to black. And the second act is really good. And the first act's rubbish.
It's that gothic,
and the third act's
that
rubbish.
Gothic romance
bit in the middle. That was great.
There's the core. There's a bit in there that's just that's interesting. And actually the end kind of plays back to that, right?
Yeah.
That gothic romance. So yeah, in there is a kernel of something really good. And like you say, if they'd have just reined it in. So I think, it's not a bad film because they didn't start, they kind of almost overshot the good film, right? They didn't, bad films are something that never gets there. And you've talked about like, what was, some bad films are quite close to being good. And it's like, they never quite got there. I think Bram Stoker's Dracula got there and went out the other side and kept going.
It went so far past the line. You kind of went, dude, where are you going? You're come on. Yeah.
No. So it got by going past it, right?
And we haven't even mentioned Keanu Reeves.
Now, bad accents, king of.
Now, he gets a pass. Again, he gets a pass because he's Keanu Reeves and he's
You're
a legend.
You're so forgiving.
I am so forgiving because it was Gary Oldman's first big film. And I've already, and even in the notes when we did this, and if you are interested, you can read back on what we were commenting about during the film, is all my comments were mainly just Keanu Reeves gifts. But also, bless him. I mean, but...
And I love the way, actually, I tell you what, a lot of the production of the film was very high quality, or maybe overwrought and too much. But how they made Keanu Reeves look older was the most rubbish thing. They basically sprinkled some talc on his floppy hair. It was terrible.
Yeah, that was awful. Yeah, it was a bad film. So we haven't decided what's next. So we're going to bring it down to one a month now, we've decided. And then we haven't decided what's next. We have decided what we're ending it on, though, which is the most requested rewatch, which is Rock of Ages, which is an amazing film, an absolutely amazing film. So yeah, that's what we've got. But yeah, so I haven't decided what's next.
Come join us on Discord in the Bad Film Club channel. Make some suggestions,
and you can vote. It is a democracy. Unless you suggest Adam Sandler films, in that case,
or perhaps Nick Cage, because we are in great danger of it turning into
the Nick Cage club.
Film Club.
Indeed, yeah, we've had a couple of Nick Cage films, but they were all amazing because the man seems to be incapable of making a good film these days. Right, on to the stats. Revel, spreadsheet fans. It is time to look at some numbers and for me to talk about millions and Fufflebucks and say the word Fufflebucks way too much. So if you're having trouble sleeping or you're a massive stats nerd, you're welcome. You might want to strap in. Normally we do the top 10. I'm actually going to do the top 15 for reasons that will become very obvious.
Having reviewed the figures, I think I approve the extra added depth.
So we've got, it's a narrower field because obviously we've had less films coming out and it's some surprising stuff in here and there's a couple of really odd ones. And once you get outside the top 10, it becomes really weird. So this is going to change dramatically. I mean, this is going to change dramatically next week when Fast and Furious comes out because those numbers are going to go mad. I think there's other films that are going to be coming out later in the year which are going to surpass all of these figures. But it's a really interesting look at what managed to stay in the system and what managed to stay in the top 10. So I'm going to start at the top and work down, which I know is kind of anticlimactic, but it's not. Trust me. Here we go. At number one, your top earner for the year. So what we're doing is we're doing one and done. So if you had picked this person on January 1st and you'd stuck with them all the way, this is how much you would have made. And the cost I'm going to give you is the current cost in the system. Because obviously these prices do fluctuate slightly over the course of the
year. Exactly, and that's why we can't really give you like a net earnings because it would depend when you bought them as to what price they were. So exactly.
I can tell you how much they would have earned. And trust me, even if they'd cost you 15 million Fufflebucks, you'd still be quids in. Especially if you picked our number one, Joel Crawford. Now, before you go, who he? Joel? Yeah, no, I've written this down. Don't panic. I've done this work for you. Joel Crawford is the director of Croods, The New Age.
And he doesn't even have a picture in the system.
No,
he's that
it
anonymous.
It is the sequel to a film that no one asked for, but they left it in the cinema just to sit there. And because people in America had very little choice on cinema, they went and saw it a lot. Joel Crawford cost...
That was out in November last year when it came out.
That film stayed in the charts for months.
April.
Yeah, it
That's
stayed
like
in
6 months.
I know. It just because there was nothing else on. It just stayed there, and people
Amazing.
Could just do it. So Joel Crawford would have cost you $10 million, which is very high for an animation director, but he would have earned you 31 million Fufflebucks. So just the very so one box office only at a very long burn. Just a huge burn rate.
Wow. I'm just looking at the performance of the Croods. So
it's
let's go from... I'm not even going to go back to November, but so from the 1st of January, it was at number two and it stayed in the top three and went back up to one until the beginning of March. It had two months at the top three.
So yeah,
that's like,
it's insane.
That's double our normal kind of 4 weeks of winning window.
It's crazy.
And, right at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we know why, but that is just...
There we go.
Wow.
So the person sitting at our number two spot, who lost out to Joel by a mere 1 million Fufflebucks, is Carlos Lopez Estrada, who is the director of Raya and the Last Dragon. And it's a very similar story. That film is still in the box office.
Even though it's been on streaming...
Even
it's
though
on
it
streaming
came out on...
and it's in the
now,
cinema. Yeah.
Is it on streaming if you pay for it, or is it now on streaming?
I don't know.
Because I've got Disney Plus, but I've been watching other
things. So there's a great site that I use now called justwatch.com. So I'm gonna, while you're talking, I'm gonna cool. get up on there because so it'll tell you like, is it free or is it pay?
Is it not? So Raya and the Last Dragon came out, did very well in the States, stayed for a while, and then it's managed to pick up business now that the UK's reopened. So it's coming quite strong.
It's included in Disney Plus.
It's now free on Disney Plus.
And yet it's still in. People are asked, this is really interesting. So it's on the subscription service, and yet it's able to make money in the cinema. That is.
He would have made you 30 million Fufflebucks.
That is.
If you'd bought them on January 1st. So our next group is actually, they're all joint top three. So I'm going to run through them all at the same time, but it is interesting to pick out which ones are which. So we have Adam Wingard, Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, and Rebecca Hill. Adam Wingard is the director of, and the rest of the stars, Godzilla vs. King Kong.
I was remembering Millie Bobby Brown's had one film, which is that one,
So they all would have earned you just over 26 million Fufflebucks. Adam Wingard is the most expensive at 9. Alexander Skarsgård, the legend, is at 7. And both Millie Bobby Brown and Rebecca Hall are only 4. Wow. So it kind of shows you what we kind of felt that film would do. And I think under normal circumstances, that film would have come in, flashed, blown stuff up, crushed a couple of buildings, and then left the room. But because there was nothing else on...
Disappeared below the surface.
Exactly. It would have come in and just gone back into the ocean. But because there's nothing else on, it did stick around for a lot longer than it should have done.
So, it got released originally in the US... At the beginning of April, and is still charting in the US and UK by mid-June, so 2.5 months.
So it had 2 months of sitting there. Now, it came in quite strong, and it stayed in the top five for quite a while, and then it just lurked at the bottom of the top.
Like
the bottom
a slow-moving, lumbering, gigantic.
I mean, we're really flogging the hell out of these giant monster metaphors, but I'm loving it, mate. You carry on. Yeah. But yeah, it's a really interesting one. So Rebecca Hall, why hasn't Rebecca Hall had a better movie career? Because she's great. She was great in Iron Man 3, even though she was in there very briefly, and she's generally really good, so she should be she should have more films. I hashtag more films for Rebecca Hall, join me. But yeah, she's great. I like her.
She's got something coming, so we will talk about her. We will make sure we pick her out in upcoming weeks when we're looking at films that are coming out,
right? And then in our joint seventh space, because obviously we have to kind of count them as they go, is Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins.
So that's Wonder Woman, right?
Wonder Woman. Now they would have earned you 23 million Fufflebucks, but Gal Gadot is 15 million and Patty Jenkins is 8. So Patty Jenkins would have been the smart buy on that one.
Yeah, unless you've still got Gal Gadot and you're just hoping for a little bit more from the cameo.
I don't think that will make the difference, right? If you're doing one and done, you know, she's obviously made the money back. So again, if you're just playing the game from a you're not dynamically changing your cast every week, then it's quite good. But again, Wonder Woman 1984, not a great film. Wasn't well received, but again, it was the only show in town, and therefore people went to see it. So
my one and done, I've got both Patty and Gal.
There you go. There.
So I'm happy that I'm gonna get a bit more from from Gal there. Yeah.
Well played. So an interesting one. But again, you know, Wonder Woman 1984 came out on Christmas Day, and it came out on HBO Max at the same time, which obviously...
And usually we steer people away from those films that have got a split across the back of the year, 2 years, right? Because that's not a great strategy. It just happens to be this year.
It just stuck around.
But slow-moving charts for the win, right?
Exactly. But it didn't get great reviews. It didn't get very positive press.
Because mixed at best, right?
Yeah, everyone was just like, meh, okay. So it was interesting. Next up is crazy. Next up is Tim Story, who is the director of Tom and Jerry. Now...
What?
Stay with me. It gets weirder, right? Tim Story's 13 million Fufflebucks. And I was like, that's a lot of money for a guy I've never heard of. But here's the first thing. First of all, he's earned you almost 23 million. So he just got pipped to the post by Gal and Patty. but he made 22 or nearly 23 million Fufflepuffs, so he's well in profit. But he has had a varied directorial career, and he's got more stuff coming. So he's one to watch, because I think the Tom and Jerry, he's not your usual, because obviously Tom and Jerry was kind of mixed. It was kind of real life and
animation. Oh, animated, sort of Who Framed Roger Rabbit type thing.
That kind of stuff, which, by the way, I'm watching that tomorrow with Little B. We're starting on her film education. She's also just watched Thor and she loved it. So anyway.
Good.
All right, so anyway, so we've got that. So, I mean, he's got a couple of films coming out. So he could be one to watch. So I'd keep an eye on Tim. So he's very good. And then rounding out our top 10 is Emma Stone.
Wow.
So Emma Stone, she would have made you just under 21 million Fufflepuffs. Now, she's a voice in The Croods.
Oh, right. So there's surely not just from Cruella. It hasn't been out long enough.
And, well, she's the voice in The Croods, which is voice, almost right. Most of that money. It's probably a good half of that money has come from The Croods, and the other half's come from Cruella. Again, a origin story we neither asked for nor wanted. and apparently overly long and a bit rubbish is generally the goal I'm seeing on Cruella. But she made you basically 20... And Emma Stone costs, ready for it, 7 million Fufflepuffs.
Steal.
Absolute steal. Absolute steal on that. So, so that's an interesting one as well. So, yeah, keep an eye on
that. So she's not done yet, right? That Cruella is still like...
Cruella's still going. So I reckon Emma's probably going to... Looking at the current figures, I think she'll surpass the 23 mark. She'll outperform Gal Gadot and... Sorry, Gal Gadot, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Patty Jenkins over the course of the year. So she'll move up. And I don't know what else she's got planned for the year. I'm guessing that's it. Mm. But we'll see. But yeah, so it's quite an interesting one. Right, and now we get into what I like to call the interesting section. We've got five names left, and they're all like, okay. First one is someone I don't know very well, but it's Demian Bichir. Demian Bichir was, I'm guessing, the bad guy in Godzilla, and he was also the bad guy in Chaos Walking. So he seems to be doing a bit of a turn as the bad guy.
Mm.
So yeah, he would have made you just under 21 million. He's just behind Emma Stone by a fraction. Now, how much is he? I don't have him in my...
He's currently 6 million Fufflepuffs.
6 mil. So yeah, so I mean, only 6 mil. So that would be he could be one to watch. He could be our go-to bad guy. Because, you know, we've got Javier Bardem. He's got all the things you need in a bad guy. He's foreign.
Yes.
And that's all you need in a bad guy.
So he's budget Javier Bardem.
He's budget Pedro Pascal, because Pedro's a bit busy at the moment. I think he's our new Pedro Pascal. So, and I mean no disrespect on this, Demian, if you are listening. Fair play to you, because you're going to do very well. But he could be just that guy who turns up as the henchman or the bad guy or red shirt number two in like all of the films. So I keep an eye on him, especially if he's only 6 million Fufflepuffs. If you picked him, because if Chaos Walking didn't do as well as I'd hoped it did, because I was really interested in the premise.
Godzilla just
absolutely killed it. And he would have been supporting cast in that. Mm. And he still pulled in an absolute fortune. So, interesting stuff. So then let's talk about number 12, because we probably got through this cast now, and we've probably got a lot of people now shouting at their stereos, their car radios, their AirPods, shouting, I don't care about Demian Bichir. Who gives a crap about Gal Gadot? Where the hell is Liam Neeson? And the answer is, Liam Neeson is currently sitting at number 12.
That's pretty respectful.
Liam Neeson is doing all right. I mean, he costs 14 because he's reassuringly expensive, but he's already made you 18 mil. Now,
goodness,
what's he been in? What's he done this year?
All I can see him scoring in is a film called The Marksman that I don't even remember a thing.
Yes, that came out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great film. It just hung around. Because there was nothing else on.
Still so he, in the charts. He was at the beginning of April.
He was making crudes money, which, by the way, is a new term. He was making crudes money, which is the term for you're the only thing available, so therefore who cares what it's like. So he's got a few more films coming up. Now, he didn't have a great, unlike the rest of us, he didn't have a great 2020 and 2019. He decided to say stupid stuff, but he's done the clever thing, which is he's kept his head down, he's shut up, and he's just continued to make the films he always makes, which is middle-aged man beats up preferably Europeans in their early 30s, which is a demographic of a film that I'm now starting to enjoy as well. So
he's probably beating up Demi and Bichir at some point, right? I would imagine. Or if he has, he should.
Undoubtedly. And if that's not the next Taken film, I'm going to be annoyed. So next up on the list, and this is the one, this is the reason I went to the 15, is because this one is really interesting. So the next, number 13, is Rob Delaney. Now, if you don't know Rob Delaney is he's a very tall comedian. So he was in...
American.
He's an American. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, he's an American comedian. I think he lives in the UK now, but he's an American comedian.
He does, yeah.
There's a TV show called Catastrophe, which is quite funny, which is on here in the...
Him and Sharon Horgan.
Sharon Horgan. That's right. And he was also... He was in Deadpool. He was the guy with the moustache in Deadpool who had no powers. That guy. He was
Deadpool
also
Deadpool
in
2?
Deadpool 2, remember. I'm sorry. He was also in Hobbs and Shaw. He was one of the CIA guys in Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, yes.
And he turns up in stuff because he's basically, he is typecast as the big American guy in a suit because he just looks like...
He
looks
man.
Like an ex-Marine or a CIA agent. And that's what he does. And that's fair. But he would have made you 17.5 million Fufflebucks had you bought him on January 1st. And he costs... you look up you're probably now thinking, wow, he sounds interesting. Yeah. What's Rob currently doing? And my answer is he's currently filming the next Mission Impossible movie.
What?
Yeah.
As a government kind of guy,
I'm guessing he's going to be he's probably going to be someone who tells Tom Cruise he can or cannot do something.
What's he done this year, though?
How has he got
to these giddy heights?
Tom and Jerry.
Oh, and I just looked him up. Wrath of Man.
And he was in Wrath of Man.
Your Jason Statham film.
He was in Wrath of Man. Yeah, exactly. Wow, he's had two he's had two good films where he's just turned up, been an absolute journeyman. He's like Demian Bichir again. He turns up in films in supporting roles and they're good films and they last a long time.
I like that these kind of people are doing well because it shows that there's some golden nuggets for players to go discover, right? And not just picking Vin Diesel, right?
Exactly. I mean, we've deliberately left a few things in there, and as you said, there's a couple of secret ones in there that you can have a look at.
Well, some of it's deliberate. I think Rob Delaney is probably more accidental, right? Or are you saying
possibly
perfect foresight into the entire movie industry.
Look, Smith, you know, let's not try and break the illusion here. People don't want to see the man behind the curtain. They want to look at the glamour and glory. Rob Delaney is an absolute steal. He won't be by the end of this podcast, but but he's an absolute steal. But yeah, but as you say, it's a really good example of just someone who just turns up, because that's what you want, is you want someone who just turns up to everything and just turns up in every film. And you go, it's him. Oh, it's that bloke. Oh, it's that bloke again. Oh, it's that bloke again. And he does
kind of a bit like, there was a time when Pete Postlethwaite, was difficult to say. He was that guy, right? He was just in everything.
Jim Broadbent. Jim Broadbent.
Yes, thank you.
He just was everyone's dad. He's everyone's
dad. Sort of like the supporting cast version of Nick Cage,
he's in everything. He just turns up and he's constantly filming. So fair play. Next in number 14 is the definite blip in the system, and this is very on point for the current global situation. Is Bob Odenkirk.
Now, Bob Odenkirk from Nobody,
Better Call Saul, and Nobody. Yeah, so he's $6 million. And he would have made you $16 million.
And that's just off the back of Nobody. That's
just off Nobody. Now, that film would not have done as well as... I mean, it would have been like trouble. It would have troubled the bottom half of the top 10. Yeah,
but it went in at one in the US.
It went in at one because there was nothing else on it. It had now, a clear run.
Latterly, because it's just come out in the UK, I've heard very good things about it in terms of it's very basic film, but it's like from the people who did John Wick. And if you like John Wick, it's like a good filler till the next John Wick.
Yeah, I don't think it's as banana pants and not everyone's a highly trained assassin, including all the homeless people. But it is, but it shouldn't have done as well as it did, but it did because there was
nothing else. Seven weeks in the US and still there.
And still going. Right,
just come out in the UK. So Bob's not even done yet, right? Although admittedly he only went in at five in the UK,
I think it's lightning in a bottle though. I wouldn't be leaning heavily on Bob Odenkirk.
It's played out now, right?
Yeah, he's
for sure. But if you got him, I think he's a hold for at least another couple of weeks.
I mean, if I was an investor in that film, you'd be absolutely laughing because you would have put a low budget movie and it made so much money. And then rounding out the top 15 is Denzel Washington.
Yeah. So you're going from like people you've never heard of to
Denzel.
Behemoths of cinema.
There's been one film come out this year with Denzel in it. And it was the murder, the kind of the serial killer capturing one. It was him, Jared Leto, and Rami Malek.
I've forgotten the name of it. It's called The Little Things.
The Little Things. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker, though. Guess how much Denzel is?
I have no idea.
5 million. 12? Five.
Five?
Five.
Who did that?
I don't know. It wasn't me. I thought
Fools.
It was you.
Fools.
Denzel is 5 million. So you would have made 15. Yeah. You would have made 15 million out of him.
Nice.
You'd have made 15 million out of Denzel based on the back of one film, which just goes to show that man has got star power. That man he's worth. Him and Liam Neeson are just doing. But Liam Neeson's 14 million and Denzel Washington's 5 million. Now I think it's safe to say that I'm going to have to go in there with a spanner and make some corrections. As now someone desperately pulls over in their car and tries to buy Denzel Washington before I get in there. Too late. This has been pre-recorded. But really, really interesting. And then you've got, I mean, and then just outside.
You give it and you also taketh away.
But also you've got, I mean, but rounding out the bottom of this list, just below Denzel Washington is Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, John Krasinski. So A Quiet Place 2.
A Quiet Place. And that's still got.
It's already made 15 million for you. So if you've got Killian, Killian, Emily, or John, they've all made you 15 million so far. And that story is not yet over. So I think that'll jump in. So I suspect they'll be in the top 10. And then just below that is Mila Jovovich. Now we talked about her in January and said that she was our top earner when we looked at it in March. And she'd made something like 14 million. Now I think she's only, this is from Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Now she hasn't made any films since, but it just shows you what a weird year it is because she's literally at the bottom of the top 20.
Monster Hunter is one of those. It came out last year in the US and stayed in the charts right the way through to early mid March.
Yeah, because again,
two and a half months, right?
So nothing else was on. Yeah. Now what we're going to find now is really interesting to look at. I'm going to keep this spreadsheet and I'm going to look at this in November, December when we're getting to the end.
Yep.
And see how far they've fallen because I reckon that. Well, no, because we're going to have Vin Diesel, Scarlett Johansson, John Cena, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Emily Blunt is in the new Jungle Cruise movie.
Yes.
So she's gonna rise up. I think she'll definitely outpace Gal Gadot, who's currently at seventh. And actually she'll outpace Rebecca Hall, who's joint third. So I think Emily Blunt will be our top earning actress for the year. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I do not know who's gonna be the top earning actor. Actually I do. I've got a sneaking suspicion, but I'm not gonna say anything now because again but so it's really interesting. So I mean, had you bought these people, I mean, it would have. But I mean, Rob Delaney is fair play to him. I mean, I might just message him and let him know. Right, that was a bit of a deep dive on the stats there. So I think that's it.
Totally
I think we're done, aren't we? We've had a couple of...
we are.
This has been a bit of an interrupted podcast, so I apologise if there's some breaks in the audio, but I've got an endless supply of parcels and people knocking on my door today, because for some reason it's just one of those days. But at least, you know, we didn't have 2 minutes of us losing our shizzle halfway through by somebody shouting out the words Nicholas Lyndhurst, time bigamist, which yes, is still makes me smile. Right, we are back in 2 weeks' time.
Good.
Inevitably talking about Fast and Furious, because that's probably going to be the thing.
And we might actually have seen it in a real cinema.
Yay! And I may have actually, in 2 weeks' time, I may have seen other films by then as well. So you never know. Mm. So we could have something to actually cover. So normal service is being resumed, which is great.
Excellent.
In the meantime, if you want to add people into the cast, let us know. You can email me at mrbirch@fantasyfilmleague.com. You can at me on Twitter. I'm Mr. Birch FFL, or you can just contact us at the FFL. But the best place to get us is Discord, where we have a small but dedicated group of people who just like to talk about Nicolas Cage and complain about how expensive everyone is in Fast and Furious.
Crack commandos. Or crack commandos. I'm not sure which.
So,
follow the chat link on the site together.
Yep, and have a look at that. And then, we're back in 2 weeks' time. And until then, have a great one. And get out there. Go to the cinema.